Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Psachim Daf Pei Zayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins a new perek, the 8th perek of Maseches Psachim, perek Ha'isha. Before we begin the Mishnah and our new perek, we glance at the side under our Nosei Mivneh heading, where we feature a Nosei, a topic heading, and Mivneh, a structural note. You can see that we have a triangle featured. And on the side, we've written Sidro Shel Anoshim Shoinim, a series of different people. And if you quickly look at the triangles, you see Ha'isha, afterwards you see Yosoim, and an Eved, and Mi. Misha, Chetzio Eved, Chetzio Ben Chorin. Four people, a woman, an orphan, a slave, and a case of a person who is half slave and half free. So there's a series of four people, Shenishchat Avurom Esa Pesach, who were in mind while someone was slaughtering a Pesach. The double underline, Hadgoshas Mekoymei Shoinim Shel Isha, we'll highlight the different places that a woman might be located for Pesach, when Pesach arrives. We now turn to the Mishnah, and the diamond marking that you see will refer to that later on, where the Gemara deals with what appears to be a contradiction, and the diamond is used to highlight what appears to be a contradiction. So in the meantime, the Mishnah begins, Ho'isha, Bizman Shi Bebeis Bailo, a woman, when she is in her husband's house, she's married and living with her husband. So Shochat Oleho Bailo, if her husband shechts a Korban Pesach with her in mind, Bishochat Oleho Avihu, and her father shechted a Korban Pesach, he slaughtered Korban Pesach, having his daughter in mind, his married daughter. So the Mishnah says, Toichal Mishel Bailo, she eats the Korban Pesach that was slaughtered by her husband. Rashi says at the top, Demestamo Daito Limonois Al Shel Bailo, Kolzman Shelo Pirsha, Shehe Daito Bishel Oviyo. That it's in all likelihood that she wants to be included with her husband's Korban Pesach, as long as she hasn't specified that she wants to be part of her father's Korban Pesach. We've learned in the past, and for those of you who are first-time listeners, so we'll just point out that with regard to the Korban Pesach, you have to be appointed to it, to be a participant in a group of people that are eating a particular Korban Pesach. So the question here is, who is she going to be associated with her husband's or with her father's Korban Pesach? So the Mishnah says that in all likelihood, she will be, unless she specifies otherwise, we assume she wants to be with her father's Korban Pesach. The Mishnah goes on, Holcha Regel Rishon Lasos Beveis Aviha. Regel Rishon is the first holiday, if Pesach is the first holiday that arrives since she was married. So it's customary for women, for new couples, on the first holiday after their marriage to celebrate it with the woman's father. So she went that first holiday to her father's house. Shochat Oleho Viyo, Veshochat Oleho Bailo. If her father slaughtered a Korban Pesach, and her husband also slaughtered his Korban Pesach, Toichal b'mokum shehi roitza, she eats where she wants to. Now the Rashi points out how the Gemara explains this, why it says here she eats where she chooses to eat. When in light of that which we said, that it's customary for them to spend their first holiday with their fathers, so why is it presented this way? We'll have to wait for the Gemara to explain this point. Now we turn to another type of person, Yosoim. Yosoim is an orphan. He's taken care of by an executor who is known as an apotropis. So Yosoim sheshochtoi olov apotropsim, yoichal b'mokum shuroitzeh. Now, the Rashi points out, we're talking about a case where this yosom, this orphan, has two executors, and each executor, in preparing their own Korban Pesach, they had this orphan in mind. So the question is, where does the orphan eat? With whose Korban Pesach is he considered a member? So the Mishnah says he eats where he chooses. Eved shel shnei shudfin, a slave who's owned by two masters, part owned by Mr. A and partially owned by Mr. B. Loy yoichal mishel shnehem. He doesn't eat from either one's Korban Pesach. The issue being, who gave reshus, who gave permission to any given master to have the other half of the Eved that's owned by the other fellow included in his Korban Pesach? So he doesn't eat with either one, and the solution must be something, in order for him to participate in Korban Pesach, the two masters must have settled it between themselves beforehand, that choosing one of them to be the exclusive provider of the Korban Pesach for this particular slave. We continue in the Mishnah. Mi shechetzio eved chetzio ben chorin, a person who is part eved and part free man. How that comes to be, we'll leave that for a separate discussion and a separate Gemara. But his status is, as we just said, he's part eved, owned partly by somebody, and he's part his own boss. He's owned by himself. Lo yoichal mishel rabo. He does not eat from his master's Korban Pesach. And Rashi explains, because in all likelihood the owner, the part owner, didn't have in mind to have the free half, the unowned half of this particular Eved, included in his Korban Pesach. So he doesn't eat from the part owner's Korban Pesach. Now, in our Mishnah, a mention was made of a woman on the first holiday, that after they're married, if it turns out to be Pesach, and her husband and her father themselves prepared their own Korban Pesachs, she decides where she wants to eat. Now, it says that it sounds from the language of the Mishnah that at the time of eating, she chooses which one she wants to participate in. Now, there's a problem with that. What's the problem? A person is not considered part of a Korban Pesach unless he is appointed to it at the time of slaughtering. The slaughtering takes place on the 14th of Nisan during the daytime. The time of eating is a few hours later after nightfall, which represents the beginning of the 15th of Nisan. If we're going to leave things as they are, that at the time of eating, what we would call in more modern terms the Seder night, if at that time she is deciding whose Korban Pesach she wants to be part of, in order for that to operate, you would have to come on to a concept known as Breira. Breira, it literally means clarification, but it more accurately is referred to as retroactive clarification, namely that what she is deciding now, we consider that this is what had been the decision at the time of the slaughtering. That's a major discussion throughout all of the Shas. Do we accept that concept of retroactive clarification? So should we conclude from our Mishnah that we are accepting that as a reality? So the Gemara says, no, we're not going to conclude that from our Mishnah. My roitze, what does the term roitze mean? We have a little arrow to the immediate right-hand side. You can align this with the arrow above. The word roitze in the Mishnah meant b'sh'as shchita, that she decided at the time of slaughtering whose Korban Pesach she wanted to be part of. Now we introduce a contradiction. On the side, we have under our Nosei Mivneh heading, we feature the diamond, and the diamond we mentioned appeared earlier as well, with a squiggle underline highlighting the expression Regel Rishon. And so Yishuv Stira Bein Mishnaseinu Braisa Binyan Isha Beregel HaRishon. We're here to resolve what appears to be a contradiction between our Mishnah and this Tanaic source. What does a woman do on the first holiday, Mishalmi Ocheles? From whom is she going to eat? So in the Mishnah, we saw b'makom shirotza. Here we have a Tanaic source featuring the same circumstances of regular Rishon, and it says, and you can see the diamond, Mishel Avia. She eats from her, it's quite clear to this source, she eats from her father's. It's not a function of her deciding. In other words, it's clear to the woman as well. It's clear that she wants to be part of her father's. So how is that to be resolved with what the Mishnah established? The Gemara. V'raminu. Isha, Raminu introduces a contradiction. Isha regel harishon oicheles mishel aviha. The Tanaic source says that the woman on the first holiday that arrives after their couple is married, it happens to be Pesach, so she eats the Korban Pesach prepared by her father. Mikan v'elech, beyond that time, and there's next year's Pesach, roitze ocheles mishel avia, roitze mishel vaila. If she wants to eat from her husband, so be it, or if she wants to eat from her father's, so be it. Anyway, the contradiction is clear. The Gemara says, lo kashya, there is no problem. Kan b'redufa leilech, kan b'she'eno redufa. The word redufa means that she is in pursuit of, she's running. So in the case that she's running to her father's house, she's highly motivated to be with her father. So then, that's what we said, she eats Michelle Avia. If she's not highly motivated to run to her father's, she's Eino Redufo, that's the case of the Mishnah. The issue of Redufo, let's first take a look at the Rashi. The Gemara itself will elaborate, give sources, and explain. But we first take a look at Rashi. Mishnah Masnisen, where we have diamonds in the Rashi, Masnisen b'she'eino redufa, she's not redufa leilech tomid lebeis avia, she's not in chase of her father, she's not running to her father's house. The base baila chaviv la, she's very, chaviv means dear to her, she's very happy in her husband's house. Hilkoch kol sh'ar harigolim vadai shaycha basrei. A woman who's very happy in her husband's house. So, as far as the continued holidays, she's clearly with her husband. The regel rishon safek, the first holiday. In this case, we're talking about the first holiday that appears in this example is Pesach. So on that Pesach, we're not sure, so the Mishnah is addressing that case. So that's why it says, v'malkam shiroitza, where she wants. Ubraisa, the Braisa that was presented in the Gemara, where we have the second diamond, that's Beredufa. She's running to her father's house. Hilkoch, regel harishon, vadei boser avia. That first holiday, she clearly wants to be with her father, and hence she's part of her father's Korban Pesach. Mikan v'elech, beyond that point, Suffolk. So in the Mishnah case, the Mikan ve'elech, it's clear that she's going to be with her husband. In the Brisa case, Mikan ve'elech is a Suffolk. And in the Mishnah case, the first holiday, we say it's since she's very happy with her husband, it might very well be she's not going to join with her father's Korban Pesach. And in the Brisa case, she really wants to be with her father, so that first holiday, which is Pesach, she will be part of her father's Korban Pesach. And as far as this emotional state on the part of women and different kinds of women, the Gemara explains, gives sources for this. Dichtiv, Oz hoyisi be'enov kemoitzes shalom. That's a posuk. The Omar Rabbi Yochanan, and this marking, this house shape, highlights on the side, you can see we've explained it, Sidra Shalmemras to Rabbi Yochanan, a series of comments made by Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan explains this pasuk that said, Oz hoyisik ve'enov kemotse shalom, the Omar Rabbi Yochanan, kekala shenimse shlemo beveis chamia, redufa leilech lahagid shvacha beveis aviha. This pasuk is describing a woman who's very happy. Beis Chamiyah means her father-in-law's house, but we can take that to mean she's very happy with her husband. She's shalem, she's complete with her husband, and she wants to tell her father about her accomplishment and her achievement, that she's achieved peace and happiness with her husband. Siv v'hoyo b'yoyim hahu num Hashem And it will be in that day, says Hashem, Tikri Ishi, Velo Tikri Li Oid Ba'ali. You will call me by the term Ishi and not by the term Ba'ali. These are, the word Ishi and Ba'ali are both expressions of matrimony between the woman and her husband. And in this analogy, the Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Almighty, represents the husband, and the nation of Israel represents the woman, the wife. And there are two levels of closeness, we'll say, are described in this pasuk. And the pasuk is referring to a future time where the closeness of the Jewish people will be greater than it is now, whereby we will refer to the Almighty as Ishi, which is an expression of closeness greater than that of Ba'ali. The Gemara continues, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, in referring to this pasuk, Kikala Beveis Chamiyo Velo Kikala Beveis Oviyo. The term Ishi is like a newlywed in her father-in-law's house, where she's completely wedded and bonded to her husband, and not like a Kala Beveis Oviyo. This might refer to the Erusin state, where a man offers money to the woman he wants to marry, thereby achieving what we'll call the first level of marriage between Erusin in the time of the Gemara and Nisuin. So there was a certain gap in time where the woman would prepare after she's officially wedded, but she's not living yet with her husband. So that's described as a kala, a newlywed in her father's house. She's still in her father's house, waiting for the period of Nisuin to arrive, at which time she's then called Beves Chomia. She's then in her father-in-law's house, meaning with her husband in a complete fashion. So the Pasuk in Hosea is describing that time where we're completely bonded with the Almighty, as opposed to now where that bond is still lacking. The Pasuk says, also in Shir HaShirim, Perek Ches, Achois Lanu Kitano V'Shodayim Ein Lo, literally a younger sister that does not have breasts to nurse others, to nurse with. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, he explains this Pasuk, he says, Zu Elom Shezochso Lilmoid V'Lo Zochso Lelameid. This is a reference to the nation of Elam, which Rashi explains was the land in which after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, so the Jews were exiled to this land, Elam, and Doniel of Tanakh fame was from Elam. And Rashi gives much more background to this. Doniel was a person who reached great heights in Torah learning. However, in that nation, there weren't people that were interested in learning Torah from him. So that's why it's described as a place, because of Doniel, Shezochso Lumod, it was a place described as where he, Doniel, was successful in his own personal Torah learning. Velo Zochso Lami, but he didn't achieve the privilege of teaching others. And that's not a function of something lacking in Doniel, but rather it's a lacking on the part of those around him that weren't interested in learning. So that's the Achois Lonu Ktano V'Shodayim. The Shodayim are the breasts from which a mother nurses, gives over from herself to others. But in Elam, Doniel himself learned Torah, but he didn't have the opportunity to give over to others. Hence this description of Shodayim Ein Lo. Another pasuk in Shir HaShirim, Ani Choyma V'Shodai K'Migdolos. Literally, I'm a wall and my breasts are like towers. Omar Reb Yochanan, Ani Choma Zu Torah. The wall is that which protects, that which fortifies. So that is a reference to our Torah. And V'Shodai K'Migdolos, my breasts are like towers. Elu Tamidei Chachomim. The towers help to protect the area surrounded by the wall. The towers, generally speaking, have guards in them, and that is a reference to the Tamidei Chachomim. They are the source of protection for the rest of the generation. The Rava Omar, Rava has a second approach to that of Rabbi Yochanan on this pasuk. He says, "Ani choymo zu kinesis Yisrael." That's a reference to the Jewish people. V'shodai kemigdolois elu bote kinesios u bote midrashos. That's a reference to the shuls where people pray and bote midrashos, places of halls of study where people learn Torah, and that those help to protect the generation. As you can see here and many other places in the Shas, the power of the Jewish people and their sense and their source of protection has always been and always will remain the Torah and the study of the Torah and the presence of places to study Torah and those who study Torah with a special emphasis on the Talmidei Chachamim, the sages amongst us. The Gemara continues now with what we have listed by way of markings with a long point. Omar Rav Zutra Bar Tuvia Omar Rav, Mai Dichtiv Asher Bonenu Kinetim Megudolim Benureim Benosenu Kizovios Mechutovos Tavnis Hechal. Now this is a pasuk we read it without explaining it. The Gemara in the next several lines, and that's why we have this as a long point, will break down this pasuk and explain it. We've underlined the different sections of the pasuk. So we now continue. Asher bonenu kinetiim. Our sons are like saplings. Elu bachure Yisrael shelo ta'amu ta'am chay. That's a reference to the young men of Israel that did not taste sin. Now the analogy here, a netiim is a sapling. This is a reference to a tree that's just, it's beginning to grow, and it hasn't been cut at all yet. Nothing has happened to it. Hence the reference to the lack of having any taste of sin. The pasuk says, "Benoisenu kizovios." Our daughters are like zovios. Now the Marsha explains that the word zovios is a reference to something that has, that is hollow, as a reference to a hole, and in terms of female anatomy and in the context of procreation, so this analogy can be better understood. And as the Gemara says, our daughters are kizovios elu besulos Yisrael. The Gemara says these are our young maidens. She'oidois pischehen lebalehen. And in order to appreciate this, we'll take a look at Rashi. The term pischehen is their openings. So Rashi says, she'oidois pischehen lebalehen, soismois pischehen. They keep that particular orifice, as we mentioned before in the context of procreation, they keep that particular orifice closed. Ad she'mizdakikois lebalehen, until they are with their husbands. V'einon nivolos l'achirim. They don't conduct intimacy with others. This is a praise of the faithfulness and the honor of the Jewish women. Loshen acher, another explanation of ogdos pischehen, shemagidos, refers to telling, informing pischehen shelnida. They inform their husbands of their menstrual cycle, libalehen, lifrosh mehen, that Jewish law demands that a husband stay apart from his spouse during that particular monthly female cycle. And the women cooperate. They tell their husbands that now it is about to arrive, and therefore stay away from me. V'afal pi shetavosan rabo, even though they have a great desire to be with their husbands. Nevertheless, the onset of this period, the halacha demands them staying apart. Again, praise of the Jewish women overcoming their natural attraction and tendencies, giving primacy to halacha. We have a bracketed section on the side. We have a note, Tam HaSograyim, the reason for these brackets, Kedei Likarev Hemshich Droshes HaPosuk Im Reshiso. The Posuk will be continued to be explained after the brackets. You can see Mechutovos Tavnes Hechal and the Gemara's comment, Eilu Ve'eilu Ma'ale Aleim HaKosuv Kilu Nivne Hechal Bimehen. Referring to the young men and the young women of Israel, because of their behaviors, distance from sin, faithfulness to husbands, it is as if the the Beis Hamikdash was built in their days. That Tavnis Hechal, the form, the building of the Hechal, the reference to the Beis Hamikdash. Now, we skipped a bracketed section. Let's go back over that. After the Gemara had pointed out Benosem Kizovios as a reference to the Besus Yisrael Shagdis Beschein Libalehen V'chein Hu Omer. Now, V'chein Hu Omer, Rashi explains that the word Zovios is a reference to something that is hollow and can be filled. You have another Pasuk explaining Zovios in that sense. It says Umolu Kemizrok Kizovios Mizbeach. So you see in the context of this pasuk, you have the word zovios, and you have something being filled up, namely that which is hollow or empty is something that lends itself to being filled up. The Rashi on this particular point says v'cheinu omer. We're looking at Rashi at the lower part of the narrow lines. V'cheinu omer molu kimizrok kizovios mizbeach ma zovios dehosom. Just like the zovios in that pasuk, ksibu umolu. The term umolu means filled up is mentioned. Hacha nami benosenu kizovios. The reference to our Jewish maidens al yidei shemismalois taiva, in that they are filled with desire. The ein niskokos elo ad shiyovo balayim. They nevertheless restrain themselves until their husbands come. So you have the you can see with our markings, we've highlighted the expression molu and mismalos, the same root, something to be filled up. So the you have filled up in the pasuk quoted molu kemizrok kezovius mizbeach, and molu in the context of the women that are filled with desire. The Gemara continues with another pasuk, also illustrating that zovios has to do with something that is filled. Iboyes emol mehocha mizovenu mileim mefikim mizan el zan. And as we see in this pasuk, you have the word zovenu, like the word zovios, and the term mileim, something that is to be filled. We continue in our Gemara, Mechutavos Tavnis Hechal, as we read this before, Eilu Veilu Male, Aleim Akosuv, Ki'ilu Nivne Hechal Bimehem. The young women and the young men who stay distant from sin, in their merit, it's considered as if the Beis Hamikdash was built in their time. Now we have a very long section of Gemara dedicated to the prophet Hoshea. Now, marking-wise, you can see we have we term a long marking. You see the word Hoshea encircled to the right-hand side of the Gemara text. Notice how long this section is. It takes you halfway down Amud Beis, and Amud Beis, you can see, is quite wordy. So all of this is dedicated to the prophet Hoshea. Now, under our nosei, our topic heading in the margin, we've written Hoshea lokech isha zoyna. We're going to see in this story something very dramatic, but it's all by divine instruction. Otherwise, heaven forbid that we should do anything like this. He takes, as the Almighty instructs him, a harlot to be his wife. We'll see that he bears, or she bears, three children with him. Now, when we speak about a harlot, to assume that it's that the children are really from Hoshea, her husband, that itself is a bit murky, and that comment will figure in the course of the Gemara. So we now start the Gemara, and we see Devar Hashem Asher Hoya El Hoshea v'chulei. The Almighty spoke to Hoshea. Bimei Uzio Yoisam Ochos Yechizkio Malchi Yehuda. He served as a prophet during the reign of four kings that were just listed. Beperek Echod Nisnabu Arba Neviim. At one time, there were actually four prophets. We didn't see their names here in the Gemara, but there are four prophets that prophesied at the same time. The Gadol Shebekulon Hoshea, and the greatest of them was Hoshea. Now, in the bracketed section, we have a note at the side where the star appears. Tochasagram Hochocha Hoshea Hoya Gadol Hanaviim Mibein Arba Chavirov. The Gemara will prove that Hoshea was the greatest of the four prophets that were his contemporaries. And after the brackets, we then see a discussion between the Almighty and Hoshea. So in the brackets, as we said, we're now going to prove that Hoshea was the greatest of his four contemporaries. or Shenemar Tchilas Devar Hashem Boshea. That is what the pasuk says, that the beginning of the speaking of Hashem was with Hoshea. That doesn't make any sense. V'chi Hoshea Diber Tchila. Hoshea was the first one with whom the Almighty conversed. The Halo Mi Moshe Ad Hoshea Kamanavim, from Moshe Rabbeinu until the time of Hoshea, there were a number of prophets. Now Hoshea is in the middle of the first temple period. From Moshe Rabbeinu till this time, you have well over 500 years. So what does this mean? Tchilas devar Hashem b'Hoshea. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, tchila la'arba neviim. He was the first of four prophets shenisnabu ba'oiso haperek, that prophesied at that same time in history. The Eluhain, the four are Hoshea, Yeshaya, Amos, Umicha. Hoshea being considered the greatest of these four. And it's quite interesting, as far as fame is concerned, one would assume, or one would probably recognize, the prophet Yeshaya or Isaiah as being the most famous of these four, but in terms of greatness, the Gemara establishes that Hoshea was the greatest of these four. And that's the term, Tchilas, the first, meaning in terms of primacy, there was Hoshea. Omar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu lo Shea. Now we start a discussion, and with the squiggle underlining that you see in the Gemara, you'll be able to keep track a little more easily of the give and take between the Almighty and the Prophet. So the Prophet, the Almighty says to Hoshea, Bonecha Chotu, your sons, reference to the nation of Israel, have sinned. The bracketed section, once again, enables us, if we skip momentarily, you can see immediately after the Almighty says to the prophet, Bonecha Chatu, Omar Lofonav, you see after the brackets, the Almighty, the Hoshea, the prophet responding to the Almighty. Now, let's take a look at the note we have in the at the side where the star appears. Hasograim Shomrim Al Retzev Hadusiach. The brackets help one more easily see the give and take between the speakers. Besoch Hasograim Muva Heora. Within the brackets, there is a point that's made. Ma Shohoya Hoshea Tzorach Lomar Velo Omro. Hoshea should have said what we see in the brackets, but he didn't say it. In fact, what will take place in this discussion after the Kodesh Baruch Hu says to Hoshea, your sons have sinned, the prophet says to Kodesh Baruch Hu, well, if that's the case, then get rid of them. Switch them for another nation. Before we get to that point, we look at the brackets now. V'hoya loy loymar, upon hearing the Almighty say, your sons have sinned, Hoshea should have said back, Bonayach Haim, they're my sons. Bnei Chanunecho Haim, they are the sons of your desired ones. Bnei Avram Yitzchak Yaakov, our forefathers, or your prize adherents, the Bnei Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov. Galgel Rachamecho Alehen, you should Galgel literally is to roll. Have your mercy roll over them. Your mercy should be cast upon them. Lo dayo shelo omar kach. It's not enough that the prophet didn't, in fact, say that, a statement of defense of the Jewish people. Elo omar lefona, but rather he did say the following. Ribono shalom, kolom kol olam shelchohu. All of the world is yours. All the nations of the world are yours. Haviram b'umacher, switch them for another people. Now, there is here, and there are many places in the Shas that there are veiled references to certain topics that, as a result of the Chazal's awareness, of saying things too explicitly, could arouse the ire and the antagonism of other peoples and other religions. So there are many things that are said in a somewhat couched form, in a hidden form. Maybe, maybe not. Maybe this is one of those. But this claim, this idea of switching the Jewish people for another people is not something that is unfamiliar to many of us. there are those that claim the Lord, the Almighty. Of course, everyone acknowledges the Jewish people were the, we'll call it the chosen people at one time, and there are those religions that claim, because of the sins of the Jewish people, the Lord cast us, the Jewish people, away and chose another instead. If that sounds at all familiar, you have it right here in the Talmud. And not only that, but according to the Talmud, this discussion predates those modern religions. You have it right over here where the prophet himself is suggesting, well, if the Jewish people are sinners, so switch them for another people. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ma'ese L'Zokein Zeh. What am I going to do with this old man? Now, this scenario of the Almighty expressing his discontent with sins and a prophet's response certainly reminds many, if not all of you, of the discourse between the Almighty and Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe Rabbeinu's famous prayers in defense of the Jewish people is certainly echoing in many of our ears. Here, this prophet doesn't seem to react the same way, but rather doesn't take the position of defense of Jewish people, but rather sides with the Almighty's discontentment and says, well, just switch them. And that bothers the Almighty. In fact, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking for is the model established by Moshe Rabbeinu of speaking in defense, praying for the welfare of the Jewish people. So the Kodesh Baruch Hu is upset here with this response. What am I going to do with him? So the Kodesh Baruch Hu has a plan of how to arouse the characteristic of mercy on the part of this prophet. With the markings, you can see we have an aleph and beis that appear in diamonds. This represents two stages. Omar lo, the Almighty says, I'm going to tell him, lech v'kach isha zoyna, v'hoylid loch bonim zenunim. I'm going to tell him to marry a harlot type woman, take a harlot as your wife, have children from the harlot, that's bonim zenunim, and we'll see a little bit more about why they're characterized as that. V'achakach omar lo, shalcha me'alpanech, and then I'll say, divorce her. After she bore for you three questionable children, I'll then tell you, get rid of her. Im hu yochol lishloch, if he will be able to get rid of his wife who bore for him three children, questionable as they may be, if he's able to get rid of her, afani eshlach es Yisrael, so I too will get rid of the Jewish people and switch them for another nation. Shenemar. Now, this is shown in the psukim. As far as markings are concerned, we're going to see a diamond, a bow tie shape, and on the side under our mivne heading, the bow tie is featured Havlotas Shnei Ashlovim B'toch Niso Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Gabi Hoshea. These, where you're going to highlight in the verses the Almighty's plan as it's seen in the psukim. So you have Aleph here corresponds to the diamond that we had, Aleph diamond two lines up, and on Amud Beis in the lines. A quarter of the way down from the top, more or less, you can see there's another bow tie shape bays, where at that point the Kodesh Baruch says, get rid of her. So first stage is take a wife who happens to be a harlot, and then stage two, stage bays, get rid of her. The Gemara. Shenemar. Vayomer Hashem el Hoshea, lech kach lecho eisha zenunim v'yalde zenunim. Go take for yourself a wife who is a harlot, and she will bear for you sons, questionable whether they're really your sons or they come from other men. After all, she is a harlot. Uksiv vayelech vayikach es Gomer bas Tevelim. And the Pasuk says, he went and took a woman, her name was Gomer bas Tevelim. And the Gemara will spend time darshaning that name. In other words, there's, as we say, there's a lot in a name. If you take advantage of our bracket and the note on the side, Achrei HaSugrayim Muva Hemshech HaSipur. After the brackets, we'll see the continuation of the story. So that we just saw part one of the story where the Almighty says in the Pasuk, we say, he says to him, take a wife, and he does. And he takes Gomer Bastavenim. If you skip the brackets, you will see if you skip to Amud Beis, do you see where the brackets ends? You see on the fourth of the medium-sized lines, the Gemara says, "Le'achar shenoldu lo shnei bonim ubas achas." After there were born to him two sons and one daughter, Omar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hoshea, the Almighty says to Hoshea, etc. and so forth. And we'll see the continuation of the story there. Our note continues. Besocha sogra muvod roshes al hashemos upsukim loisofim al leidas hayolodim shel hoshea im eishes hazinunim. Within the brackets, we will see expansion on the regarding the name, her name, and other psukim featuring the birth of the children with this wife of his, Gomer Bast Balaam. So now that you know the basic layout of the Gemara, we look at the brackets. Gomer, her name was Gomer Bast Balaam. So what does Gomer mean? Omar Rav Shakol Gomerim Bo. Rashi at the bottom says, Gomerim Bo be awesome v'tavas libam. All the men folk finish off their desires with her. The Pasuk said Bas Devalim, we're at the top of Omid Beis. What does Bas Devalim mean? Diba Ra'a Bas Diba Ra'a. She, Diba is Diba Ra'a is ill repute, a reference to ill repute, literally ill speech. She was a woman, the daughter of a woman, both of whom were of ill repute. Ushmuel Omar. Shmuel, he has his pshat in the name. Bas Devalim is Shemesuka Befi Hakol Kidvela. She was sweet in the mouths of all, like a Devela. Devela are pressed figs. Something that's very sweet, very attractive, very desirable. Rabbi Yochanan Omar Shakol Doshin Ba Kidvela. Devela is pressed figs. It's a reference to intimacy, that they all press upon her like one presses figs. Of course, a reference to, as we said, intimacy and the idea of so many. After all, she is a harlot. Dovar Acher, another approach. Gomer, Omar Rav Yehuda, Shebikshu Legamer Mamoinam Sheyisrael Biyomeha. Her name, Gomer, reflects the intent to plunder the wealth of the Jews at that time historically. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Bozazu Vigomru. In fact, they were plundered and finished off. Their money, their assets were destroyed, or plundered and taken and stolen. Shenemar, Ki Ibdom Melech Aram Vayesimeim Ke'afor Lodush. That pasuk indicates Rabbi Yochanan's pshat that the Armeni, the king of Aram, came and plundered them and trampled them like dirt. Fatahar Vateled Lo Ben. This pasuk goes back to Hoshea and the wife, and she became pregnant and bore for him a son. Vayomer Hashem Elof Kro Shmo Yisrael. Call him by the name Yisrael. Ki Oid Me'at Ufokadati Es Demei Yisrael Al Beis Yehu. Vishbati Mamlechus Beis Yisrael. The Tosfos says Yisrael Hashem Haosid She Yisru Begola. The word Yisrael, it literally has to do with being planted. Or Zora, you can see Zora is something planted. And Tosfos explains that the word Yisrael means it's a reference to the prophetic point that they will eventually be exiled and planted, replanted in the diaspora, in the Golos, in the exile. The pasuk continues, Vatahar oid vateled bas. She bore now another child, a daughter. Vayomer lo kro shmo loy ruchama ki lo oisif oid arachem es beis Yisrael. Call your daughter that name, Lo Ruchama. Ruchama has to do with Rachamim, with mercy. The name indicates I will not have any more mercy for the nation of Israel. Ki naso es solahem. Should I forgive them? Should I overlook their sins? Vatar vateled ben. And the pasuk continues. And another son was conceived and born. Vayomer kro shmoi loyami. Call him by that name, not my nation. Ki atem lo yami, vanochi lo eye lochem. You are not my nation, and I am not there for you. So, what did we see now in this bracketed section? We saw the prophet Hosea, by in following divine instruction, taking a harlot as a wife, bearing three children for him, Yisrael, Lo Ruchama, and Lo Ami. Those are the names. Li'achar Shenoldu Lo, Shnei Bonim Ubas, after the two sons and daughter were born, Ubas Achas, Omar Lo, HaKodesh Baruch Hu Hosea. The Almighty says to the prophet, Lo hoya lecho lumud miMoshe Raboch, should you not have learned from Moshe, your master? Moshe is called the Adon HaNaviyim, he's the master of all prophets, even though there's a major time gap between them. Nevertheless, the term is used. Should you not have learned from your master, Moshe Rabbeinu, Shekivan Shedibarti Imo, when I spoke with him, I conversed with Moshe Rabbeinu, Pirish Min Elisha. He separated from his wife, as is well known. He had been married to Tzipora, but at a certain point, we see that Moshe Rabbeinu separated from her. Af ata bedoil atzmecho mimeno. Separate yourself from this woman. As we said earlier, the Botai Beis, as you can see, is the second stage of the divine plan with regard to the prophet Hosea. Now get rid of her, he says. Omar Loi. So the prophet says, "What, you want me to get rid of her?" Ribbono Shalom, yesh li bonim mimeno, ve'ein ani yochol lehotzio v'lo legarsha. I have children from her. I can't send her away, nor can I divorce her. Omar le Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Now the Almighty comes back with the clincher, so to speak. He says, "Uma ato sheishtecha zoyna ubonecha b'nei zinunim." Mind you, your wife is a harlot. Your children are questionably your sons. V'einato yudea im shelcha hein im shelachirim heim kach. You don't know whether they're your sons or not, and look at you. You're so attached to them. You're so concerned about them. Yisrael, the Jewish people, Shein Bonai, B'nei, B'chunai, B'nei, Avram, Yitzhak, V'yankov. My sons, the nation of Israel, the children of my choice ones, my tested ones, the forefathers, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Echad, Me'arba, Kinyonim, Shekonisi, Be'olomi, one of my four prized possessions, the Jewish people, one of my four prized possessions that I have in my world. And skip the brackets momentarily. V'ato amarto haviram be'umo acheres, and you say, get rid of them. As you can see, and we have a starred note on the side with regard to the bracketed section, dilug al hasorayim, the skipping that we just did with the skipping of the bracketed section, shema retzef hadvarim, it keeps the flow, the narrative flow clear. He know Rishimas Arba Hakinyonim Umukorosem. Within the brackets, we'll have a list of those four prized possessions of the Almighty in the world. So now we go back to the brackets. Number one, Torah Kinyon Echad. The Torah is one prized possession of the Almighty. Dechtiv Hashem Koneni Rashis Darkoi. The word Kinyon, Koneni, and Rashis, a reference to the Torah. Shomayim Voretz Kinyon Echad, the heavens and earth are another Kinyon, Dichtiv, Konei Shomayim Voretz. Beis Hamikdash Kinyon Echad, the holy temple is considered that as well. Dichtiv, Har Ze Konso, Yemino, again the word Konso, in reference to Har Ze, the mountain, the temple mount, the Beis Hamikdash. And we dashed under line number 4 because this is really why this is brought in. Yisrael kinyan echo dechtiv am zu konisa. So after having said that the Jewish people are my prized possession, ata amarta viram buma acheres, and you're saying to me, you're saying switch them for another nation. And we saw the prophet saying this to the Almighty back on Omid Aleph. Five lines from the bottom. And you can see that's why we have a little arrow to the left-hand side of the Gemara text. with an indication to look back, and you can see where he actually said this. A correction. The star that you see to the right-hand side of the Gemara text and the indication to look back on Omer Aleph. The Gemara continues with our next, the squiggle underline is now a reference to the change in speaker, or change in emphasis, that we're now looking at the prophet, Kevon Shiyoda Shechota, once he knew that he sinned, Omad Levakesh Rachamim Al Atzmo. He then prayed for himself. He realized that he infuriated the Almighty, so he feels a need to pray for mercy on himself. Instead of your praying for yourself, pray for the mercy of Israel, upon whom I had ruled three negative rulings, three punishments. We mentioned Yisrael represented the Gola, the Lo Ami, and the Lo Ruchoma, the changing of casting them away as his people and a people of having no mercy. So pray for them. Omad uvikesh rachamim ubotel gzera. He prayed and it was successful in having the edicts rescinded. V'hischil avorchon, and then he commenced blessing them. Shenemar v'hoyo mispar b'nei Yisrael kechol hayom. The nation of Israel will be in great multitudes like the sand of the sea. V'hoya b'mokum asher yoyim alohem lo amiatem, and it shall be in the place that they will be referred to as not the chosen people of the Almighty. Yoyim alohem b'nei keil chai. It shall be proclaimed that we are the sons of the living God. V'nikvetzu b'nei Yehuda b'nei Yisrael yachdov v'chule, and the all the different aspects of the Jewish people will gather together. V'zeratili ba'aretz v'chamti es lo ruchama. I will then reestablish them in the land of Israel, and I will have mercy on those that I had no mercy. V'amarti lelo ami ami ato, and I will say to those that were claimed to be not my people, you are my people. I have very little to add to how powerful this particular prophecy is, and how it should constitute a direct nullification of the claims that other religions make, other lies that other religions try to convince their adherents to, that the nation of Israel has been cast away by the Almighty. It is true that through the ages the nation of Israel has been persecuted and exiled and pogroms and inquisitions and gas chambers, etc. But all of that does not reflect in one iota, and if anything, almost the opposite, that the eyes of the Almighty are fixated on the Jewish people. And he has not cast the Jewish people out whatsoever. And this should be in the mouths of all, just to as a response to anyone who makes claims like that. V'yomarti lelo ami ami ato. We are the nation of the Almighty. Parenthetically, the claim of the Jewish people to be the nation of God, the nation of the Almighty, is not necessarily a claim that the Jewish people are better per se, but that the Jewish people are chosen to be what we refer to often as the light unto the nations. We are supposed to be the leaders of the world, showing the right way of morality, the right way of conduct, the right way of life in its totality, to be the light unto nations. And in that sense, the Jewish people are known as the chosen people. The misconception that chosen people is a reference to a higher or better people in the classic simplistic explanation of things, that is not necessarily the case. But rather, the nation chosen to be the guiding light unto all the others, that is the role of the Jewish people. And that that aspect has never been altered, and that is our role and our job in this world. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Oy lo l'rabonus shemekaberes es baleha. Woe unto the position of leadership, and we'll say a little bit more about leadership as we go on in the Gemara, but the woe unto the position of being in charge in the sense of being a king or a ruler, where in fact it causes the occupants of those offices to die, we could say either prematurely or die young, as the Gemara illustrates. She'ein l'cho kol novi v'novi, you don't have any prophet, shelo kipech arbo melochim b'yomav, that the prophets that served as such in the course of the reign of four kings. So that you see that that one prophet continuing his role as prophet while four kings are on the scene, meaning a king arises, dies, he's replaced, and that happens four of them over the course of the lifetime of one prophet. Shenemar Chazon Yishayo ben Amoitz Asher Chozo al Yehuda v'Yerushalayim, and the pasuk continues, Bimei Uzio Yoisum Ochoz Yechizkio Malchi Yehuda. So you have one prophet, Yishayo, and he's being held up as an example for the Gemara's broader comment, and you see that he functioned as a prophet over the course of four kings, Uzio, Yoisum, Ochaz, and Chizkio. And when we speak about the problem, so to speak, is that when you are a ruler, it's almost unavoidable to be heavy-handed and pressuring those that are under your reign. And that's what causes this phenomenon, as the Gemara described, to take place. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ibnei ma zocha Yerovam ben Yoyosh, Melech Yisrael, why, in what merit did this king of Israel is a reference to the northern kingdom, after the time of Shlomo Melech, in the time of his son Rechavam, there was a split between the northern kingdom, taken over by a gentleman by the name of Yerovam ben Nevat, and the southern kingdom made up of only the tribe of Yehuda and Binyamin, which were run by the Rechavam ben Shlomo, the son of Shlomo HaMelech. So it's also understood that it seems that the kings and the northern kingdom were more sinful, if you will, than the southern kingdom. Hence the question is in place: what merit did this gentleman Yerovam ben Yoyosh have, who was the king of the Israel, the northern kingdom, to be counted amongst the Malchi Yehuda, the kings of the southern kingdom? On the side, we have a topic heading that now says Yerovam ben Yoyosh lo kibel loshen hora al omois. This king Yerovam ben Yoyosh did not accept evil speech, slander concerning the prophet Omois. And in that merit, he's categorized, or he's listed together with the kings of Yehuda, the southern kingdom, which really were the continuation of the Davidic dynasty. So our Gemara continues. We said Mipnei Shelo Kiba Loshen Haral Amos. By the way, you notice we have little lettering here, Aleph over Lehimonos Im Malchi Yisrael, and Beis Mipnei Shelo Kiba Loshen Haral Amos. The reason for this is the Gemara now is going to seek sources for each of these points, and that's why we have the double underline marking and the lettering that corresponds. So we ask, Minolon the Imni, from where do we see in the Psukim that Yerovam ben Yoyosh is counted with Malchi Yehuda? Dichtiv, Devar Hashem HaShohoya El Hoshea ben Be'eri. the word of the Almighty that was to the prophet Hosea, Bimei Uziyah, Yoisom Ochoz Yechizkiyah Malchi Yehuda, Uvimei Yerovam Ben Yoyosh Malchi Melech Yisrael. We dashed underline Yerovam Ben Yoyosh, this is the gentleman we were looking for, and he's counted along with these kings of the Yehuda region. Uminolon de lo kibel loshen hara. From where do we know that he did not accept slander concerning Amos? Dichtiv. The pasuk says, "Vayishlach Amatzio Koyen Beisel El Yerovam Melech Yisrael Lemor." This individual Amatzio sent a message to Yerovam, the king of Israel, of the northern kingdom. Lemor Koshar Elecha Amos Bekerav Beis Yisrael Lo Suchal Oretz Lochil Es Kol Devorav. This Amatzio sent a message claiming that that Amos is scheming against you. Uksiv kikoy Omar Amos becherav Yomus Yerovam v'chulei. And he said that thusly the prophet Amos claimed that you will die at the sword. Omar, so Yerovam, upon hearing that, said Chas v'shalom Omar oisad tzadik kach. Heaven forbid that that righteous one said thusly. V'im Omar ma'aseh lo. And if he said it, what can I do about it? What can I do to him? Shechina amra lo. It was some message that was of a divine origin. So you can see that this king, Yerovam ben Yoyosh, stood up in defense of the prophet. And in that merit, he was counted amongst the kings of Yehuda. As we continue in the Gemara, we notice diamond marking, and this is explained on the side under our Mivneh heading, Memros Shel Rebbe Lozer. These are comments made by Rebbe Lozer, and if you scan the page, you can see they continue down the rest of this Omid, and another diamond expression will appear on Pei Ches Omid Aleph toward the top. Omar Rebbe Lozer, Afilu b'shas kaso shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even at the time of the wrath of the Almighty, Zoicher es Harachamim, he makes reference to mercy. Shenemar kiloi oisif oid arachem es Beis Yisrael. So that you see that in this pasuk where there's a declaration that I will not have any more compassion for the Jewish people, the term arachem, the term mercy, is nevertheless mentioned. Rabbi Yossi bar Rabbi Chanina Omar mehocha. From the following, and this is a pasuk that we saw quoted earlier, where it was read in a term of tmiha, ki naso esa lohem, and Rashi explains loshon slicha v'atmui matme. It's read in a tone of should I have mercy? Umiu slicha komidgar v'sefer dekrod leilu. This is simply the continuation of the pasuk that we had cited earlier. You can take advantage of the little arrow that you see to the left-hand side of the Gemara text and align it with the arrow you see further up and see where it was cited earlier. The Omar Rebbe Lozer, and another comment of Rebbe Lozer, the double underline here is used to highlight expressions beginning with the term Lo Higlo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, references to the reasons for the Almighty expelling the Jews, sending them into exile. So Rebbe Lozer says in the first comment, Lo Higlo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Es Yisrael Lebein HaUmois El Kadesh Yisvasu Aleim Gerim. This is an amazing comment that the reason that the Jews were sent into exile was for the purpose of converts to join up with the Jewish people. Being that there are Gentiles populating the entire world, in order for them to have a chance to join up with the Jewish people, you need to have Jews located in all those places. Now, let us not confuse this comment with the idea of proselytizing. The Jewish people never stood for proselytizing, convincing others to become Jewish. That's something that maybe other religions practice and use that, that being a focal point of their entire existence. Not so with the Jewish people. However, there is on a much deeper level a connection, we'll say. It might be on the mystical level, more in the deeper sublime level of people that are out there in the world that are not Jewish, whose real place is to be amongst the Jewish people. And in order for that bonding to take place, it's necessary for the Jewish people to be out there in order for them to be attracted to us. But once again, we're not referring to some effort on the part of Jews to proselytize. So there is the Jewish people were scattered in order for these converts to join up. Shenemar v'zorati oli baretz klum odom zorea. So that's the first. That's the pasuk, and I will plant them in the land. That's v'zorati oli baretz. And of course, this is a continuation of from Psukim in the prophet Hosea, where we already made reference to the idea of the Jewish exile. Now, the Gemara explains, Klum Odom Zorea Saw El Lahachnis Kamakurin. When a person plants, he plants a certain small, relatively speaking, small amount of seed, and amounts here are referred to in this analogy by the term Saw. And a person isn't going to plant a saw of seed unless he plans to get back from it numerous kurim. Just to give you a feeling of the analogy, one saw is a 30th of one kur. So one kur is 30 times a saw. And the Gemara makes reference to kama kurim as a numerous kurim. So if you were to take this analogy literally, which I'm not sure about, but the Jewish people are those that are exiled, they're the ones that are planted. The expectation is then that there should be many, many others joining up with them. All right, that having been said, let's continue in the Gemara. Rabbi Yochanan Omar Mehocha. The idea of the Jewish people being scattered for the sake of having other nation, other members of the world population joining up, we see here it says, "V'yichanti eslo ruchamo, v'yomarti lelo ami, ami ato." And now Rabbi Yochanan takes this to mean, "I will say to those that are not my nation, I will say to lelo ami, ami ato, you are now my people." That then is a reference to the joining up of those that are not Jews to the Jewish people. Omar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. My dichtiv, al talshein eved el adoinov, pen yekalelicha ve'oshamta. The pasuk says, don't slander, don't speak ill of a servant to his master, for that might incur him cursing you and blaming you. Uksiv dor oviv yekalel. The esimo lo yivorech. In looking at this pasuk, the Gemara reacts in wonderment. Mishum de oviv yikaleel vesimo lo yivorech, because you have someone cursing his father and not blessing his mother. You shouldn't slander. You shouldn't speak ill of them. In other words, if you have a nation or a generation that is behaving so questionably, so horribly, why should there be any defense of them in the first place? Ella, the point is, afilu dor she'oviv yikal v'esimo lo yivorech, even a generation who curses his father and his mother he doesn't bless, al talshein eved al donav, don't tell the master about his servant's behavior. Minolam, where do we learn this from? Mehoshea. We learn this exactly from what we saw above. We saw before that the Almighty told Hoshea that, you know, the nation are sinners. So they were, the analogy here to those cursing their father and not blessing their mother. And Hoshea reacted, well then, just get rid of them. And that upset the Almighty, the Master himself. Omar Rav Hoshaya, my dichtiv, tzidkois
Pirzoinoi b'Yisrael. What does that mean? Tzedakah osa HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'Yisrael, an act of righteousness the Almighty wrought upon Israel, shepizron lebein ha'umois, that he scattered them amongst the nations, v'hainu di omar le'ahu mino l'Rabbi Hananya, and the Rabbi Hanina. And in this light, we understand the discussion between this mean, an apostate, with Rabbi Hanina, who claimed, anan ma'alinon minaychu, we are better than you. Ksiv b'chu, regarding you, the Jews, it says, ki sheshes chadoshim yoshav shom, yoyov v'chol Yisrael ad hikris kol zohar be'edoim. The pasuk is describing a war of the Jews against the Edomites, where over the course of 6 months he killed off, eradicated all the men folk of Edom. V'ilu anan, but us, referring to the Gentile world, that's the as the min here, this apostate is presenting himself. He says v'anan, v'ilu anan, but us. Isinchu gabon kamoshoni, you are amongst us many years. Velo ko avdinon lechumidi, and we don't do anything to you. Omar loy. So Rabbi Hanina responds, Ritzoncho yitapiloch talmid echad. Would you like one of my students to deal with you, to attach himself and respond to you? Nitpale Rabbi Yeshua. So Rabbi Yeshua attached himself to this discussion and responded. This is Rabbi Shaya responding. Omale mishum delo yad isu hechi tavdu, because you people don't know how to carry out your schemes. Tachlinon, well, if you want to destroy us, kulhu les nugabaychu. All of us, the Jewish people, are not by you. The Jewish people are scattered over the entire world, not under your control. My di'iko gabaychu, those that are amongst you, if you do destroy us, kori l'chu, you will then be referred to as malchusa k'tiosa, a cut-off kingdom, a kingdom that had one of its people subjects eradicated. So it's not in your PR best interests in having that done. Omar Le, the min, the apostate, responded, Gapo de Romoi. This is an expression meaning it's an oath that he says in the name of his idol. He says it by he swears in his idol's name, Veho Nachtinon Ubaho Salkinon. Roughly translated is that we are involved with this all the time. In other words, this, in fact, what you said is really on our minds all the time. Scheming to get rid of the Jews, but realizing that we won't be able to carry it out. How timely this is. As they say, some things never change. God willing, in the time of redemption, we will see a change in this. But to be realistic and aware of the reality, one has to. One, this Gemara is certainly one of those, we'll call it hint type Gemaras, covered over or shrouded Gemaras, where something is being alluded to, namely the intent of many, many nations of the world who, upon seeing the Jews, are only scheming, how are we going to get rid of them? And it goes without saying, there are nations that have tried it, and quite fortunately and quite happily were unsuccessful. True, the Jewish people suffered great pain and great loss, but all those who attempted to do that to us are no longer. And the Jewish people continue and prosper to this very day. Toni Rabbi Chia, my dichtiv. Rabbi Chia teaches the following source. What is meant by the following pasuk? Elokim hevin darko v'hu yoda es mekoima. Yodea kodesh baruch hu es Yisrael she'enam yichoyim lekabel gzeros achzarios edom. The Almighty knew that the Jewish people could not bear the wicked and evil decrees against the Jewish people on the part of Edom, the Fikach Higla Oisam Lebovel. Therefore, the Jewish people were exiled at the time of the temple destruction, of the first temple. They were sent to Babylonia. So that the Jewish people at that time were true sent into exile, but were given the lesser of the two evils. And Rashi says, Higloi son lebovel, she'ein kastim, the kastim a reference to the Babylonians, they are not achzorim kishar umos, they're not as evil and bestial as other nations. Of course, in the course of time, Tosfos makes reference to this as time went on. In fact, the level of evil changed, and in fact, the region occupied by Bovel became very evil, and other nations were viewed as left, as less than that. Whatever the case is, no one nation historically has a monopoly on evil. The Omar Rebbe Lozer, Lo Higlo Kodesh Baruch Hu Es Yisrael LeBovel Ela Mipnei She'amuka Kesheol. The Almighty exiled the Jewish people to Bovel because it is as deep as the grave. The Rashi says She'amuka Kesheol V'yifdeim Misham Maher Kamo She'efticham Miad She'ol Efdeim. Being that that was a very very deep location that will serve as a motivation, so to speak, if it can be said, to the Almighty to redeem them quickly. In fact, with regard to Golus Bavel, it was really a short-term exile lasting basically 70 years. Shenemar miyad shoil efadeim mimoves egoleim. I will redeem them from shoil. Shoil is a reference to the depths. Rabbi Hanina Omar. Now you'll notice we have a numbering scheme. The first was in the Tanaic source of why they were sent to Bavel. First reason, Rabbi Lozer gave a second reason, and now a third reason for the Golos Bavel. So Rabbi Hanina Omar, Mipnei Shekorov L'Shoinum L'Loshen Torah. The Almighty's decision to exile the Jews to Bavel was because of a certain consideration of ease for them language wise. The language of the Babylonians is a language similar to that of the Jewish people, something close to Hebrew. Rabbi Yochanan, a fourth explanation, Omar Mitnei Sheshigron Lebein Imon. The sending of the Jews to the region of Bavel was in a certain sense a type of sending them to their place of origin. I don't want to say sending them back home, because as far as the Jewish people are concerned, their home is Israel, the land of Israel. But sending them back to where they came from, the Jewish people's origins are not in the land of Israel. Avram Avinu came from Ur Kasdim, and Kasdim, as we saw before, is a reference to the Babylonians. So sending them to Bavel was sending them back to their place of origin. Moshe li'adam shekos l'ishto, an analogy to a man that became enraged with his wife. Lehechon mishakra, where does he send her off to? Lebeis ima, he sends her back to her mother's house. After this bracketed section, which you can pick up with at the bottom line, we'll see a number five, a fifth reason for Golos Bavel. Within the brackets, we turn our attention to the section after having said that the Jewish people were sent back to where they came from. Vahainu de Rebbe Alexandri de Omar. This is in light of that which Alexandri says. Shloisha chazu lemit alson. There are three that went back to mat alson from the word nota, where they were originally planted. Eluhain, the three are Yisrael, Kesef Mitzrayim, Uksav Luchos, the Jewish people, the wealth of Egypt that the Jewish people took from Egypt, and the writing on the Ten Commandments, the first tablets. The Gemara will explain. Yisrael Hadamar, we just mentioned what was meant by Chazorah Lemat Osan regarding the Jewish people. number Kesef Mitzrayim, Dechtiv, Vayi, Bishona Chamishis, Lemelech Rechavam, and it was in the fifth year of the realm of the king Rechavam, who was the son of Shlomo Melech, Ola Shishak Melech Mitzrayim al Yerushalayim, this Egyptian king, he came and plundered Israel, taking the wealth out of Israel. Which wealth? They took the wealth that the Jewish people had amassed from their exile, from their exodus from Mitzrayim, and it was now taken back to Mitzrayim. Ksav haluchos dichtiv. The pasuk says regarding the smashing of the first tablets. Veshabreim leinechem. Veshabreim leinechem. Tana luchos nishbru. The explanation of this is that the luchos were smashed. Moshe Rabbeinu smashed those first tablets for oisiois porchos, but the letters, they flew away. They flew heavenwards back to where they came from. Ula, Omar, we noted before that Ula is a fifth explanation for the Golos Bavel. Kedei shiyoichlu top of Peches Maralf, Tamorim, Viasku Batur of Bovel, was a land known for its date production, its date crop, and they were sent there so that they'd be able to eat dates and have a, let's say, ready food supply and be able to learn Torah. Ula Iklo Lepobadisa. Ula visited Pobadisa, a place in Bovel. Karivule Tirino de Tamri, and he was presented with a basket of dates. Amaluhu, and he asked, Kamo kihani bezuza, how much of this can one buy for azuz? Azuz is a coin, a small coin. Amrule, tlas bezuza, you can get three for azuz. Omar Ula, upon hearing that, it sounded like a great price, he said, Maloi tsana de dufsha bezuza, ubavloi lo aski boraisa. A whole basket full of honey. Dates are a source of honey production. So you can get a whole basket of honey for a mere zuz, and the Babylonians, the Jewish people there, don't study Torah. In other words, they have the greatest opportunity, ready food supply, their needs are sort of taken care of for very little money. They can spend a lot of time learning Torah, and they don't do it. Balelio tsaruhu. That night, Ula, having eaten his good share of dates, he started feeling ill. Omar, he then reacted, Molot sana sama de moisa bezuza bebovel bavloy aski boraisa. And it was all credit to the Jews that are living in Bovel. They eat a basket full of poison, sama de moisa, is poison, and they, for a basket full of poison for azuz, and they, that's what they eat, and they're still able to learn Torah. All credit to them. The Omar Rebelozer, my dichti v'holchu amim rabim, v'omru lechu v'nale el har Hashem el beis elokei yankiv v'chulei. And many nations will come and say, let us ascend to the mount of the Almighty, to the house of the Lord of Jacob. The Gemara asks, why does the pasuk, why do they feature or emphasize Yaakov Avinu? Elokei Yaakov, Elo Elokei Avram, Yitzchok, is he the Almighty, the Lord of Jacob, and not the Lord of Abraham and Isaac? Elo, rather, the point is, the emphasis on Yankov is Loike Avram, not like Avram Shekosuv Bo Har, that his reference to the Beis HaMikdash was that as a mountain. Shenema Asher Yomar Ayoim Bahar Hashem Yiroeh. And in that posuk, which is in the context of Avraham Avinu, it mentions Har as a reference to the place of the Beis Hamikdash, a mountain. V'lo ki Yitzchak shekosuv bo yisodeh, nor like Yitzchak, concerning whom the Beis Hamikdash is referred to as a field. Shenemar v'yetze Yitzchak lo suach basodeh. That posuk is a reference to Yitzchak going and praying at the site of the Beis Hamikdash, but it's referred to as a field. Elo keyankiv shekoro bayis. But rather, the reference that the nations of the world make to the Beis Hamikdash is like that of the reference to it in the context of Yankiv, Shekoroi Bias. Bias is a settled, Rashi says, Mokom Yushov, a settled place, a place of habitation, having more significance than a mountain or an open field. Shenemar, Vayikro, Shema, Mokom, Ahu, Beis El.
Omar Rav Yochanan, Godol Kibbutz Golius, great is the day of the ingathering of exiles, Kiyom Shenivru Bo Shamayim Varetz, as the day of creation itself, the day of creation of the heavens and earth. Shenemar, V'nikbitzu B'nei Yehuda U'B'nei Yisrael Yachtov, the Somulam Roish Echod, the Olu Min Horetz, Ki Godol Yoim Yisrael. The emphasis in this pasuk is describing the ingathering of the exiles, and the word Yom is dashed underlined. Uksivai Erevai Boker Yoim Echod. This pasuk referring to the act of creation on the first day, and you see the word Yom also. So the analogy is made between the ingathering of exiles and the day of creation. The Gemara will continue with that which was mentioned in the Mishnah. Mirz Hashem, we will see this next time. Before we conclude, let us just remind you that we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.